Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In this lesson, I want to talk about your Microsoft Azure-based durable storage options for data at a very high level as an initial pass through this material. I want to talk about what your options are and why you might choose one option over another. Besides the options that we'll talk about in this module and then in the remainder of the modules in this course, there might be two dozen additional permutations or options on top of that. For example, you could spin up a virtual machine with a Linux distribution. You could go to the command line and you could install MySQL yourself, and then you could install a tool like PHP MySQL to manage that instance of MySQL. But that's not the kind of thing that we're talking about in this module and in this course. We're talking about homegrown technologies from within Microsoft, and those tools that Microsoft's created that have APIs that are friendly for a C# developer, they have some representation inside of the Azure portal and so on. Okay. Now, I think I said this in the previous module. If you were like me, I always used to shoehorn every kind of data storage need into the only tool that I really had available to me, which was Microsoft SQL Server. And most of the time I got it to work. It wasn't always an elegant solution, but you know, we got it to work. However, now there are many different tools that we could add to our toolbox, choosing the right tool for the right situation. We just need to understand what those tools are and what situations make sense for that particular tool. And that's really the intent of this course. So it might be helpful as we get started to talk about the different types of data that you can store in Microsoft Azure. Obviously, as we're getting started, you can store traditional relational data, you know, COD and normalization, the normal forms. You're talking about tables with relationships between them. Each table is very structured. Columns have data types, and they have names, and they have different properties. There are constraints that ensure or increase data integrity. And if you need that functionality in the cloud, you can use Microsoft Azure SQL. It's essentially Microsoft SQL Server on premises, except that you don't have to worry about installing and configuring it. You don't have to worry about some of the issues that we talked about earlier, like what happens whenever data center goes down. How do we hot swap everything over? And we have a complete replicated version hot and ready to go in another data center. Well, this is where the beauty of Microsoft Azure comes in. It takes care of a lot of these things for us. Can't wait to talk about Azure SQL later on in this course. We'll devote, half a dozen modules to that. But in addition to your traditional relational data, suppose that you wanted to store some things that are not so traditional, or they're the kinds of things that in the past were proved difficult to kind of work through. So for example, suppose that you wanted to store an object graph. And so I mean this in the sense of like domain-driven design, where you have an aggregate root with a lot of related child objects, and you wanted to store that in some sort of data store. Well, in the past, what you had to do was rely on a tool called an object relational mapper. So there was this disconnect, disconnect between the way that you would design a relational database management system and a way that you would design an object-oriented system. And this middle tier would attempt to kind of, make it easy to work with each. Microsoft's entry into that is the Entity Framework. And for the most part, that works well. However, if we really want to build truly object-oriented applications, then perhaps we can go at this a different way. Maybe we can serialize those entire object graphs that we have in memory into a semi-structured format like JSON, JavaScript Object Notation, and then store that document that represents that object graph into a data store that can, store, more data than you would typically store inside of a relational database management system. And so Microsoft has a new tool called DocumentDB that will accomplish just that. And we'll spend a few modules talking about it. It frankly, that's one of my favorite topics. I'm excited about this. I can see so many applications for the kind of applications that I want to build. All right, moving on. Suppose that you want to store terabytes of relatively flat data. So you don't need a lot of relationships between the data, but you've got terabytes of entries, whether it be events that need to be processed or just writes to some data store every time somebody visits your website or whatever the case might be, like a log file sort of thing. In that case, you might want to use Azure Storage Tables. It'll be one of the first technologies that we look at. And you'll see that each entity inside of an Azure Storage Table has a number of properties, 255 properties. Each property is essentially a name of a property and a value that it's set to. And each entity can have the same, or it can have different properties depending on how you design it. And so we'll talk about why that's cool and some of the challenges that it represents. But the key here is that you can store a lot of relatively flat data. Moving on from there, suppose that you need to store files or documents from your application. Well, you might use a technology called Azure Storage Blobs or Azure Blob Storage. And this would allow you to save large files. The virtual machines inside of Microsoft Azure will store the virtualized disks inside of blob containers. So you can store photos and videos and any other kind of document that you want to store and be able to retrieve easily by some key or ID. You might also use blob storage for serializing large object graphs. The thing about JSON that we talked about just a moment ago is that it's very chatty. It is a large format. But what if you wanted to shrink the data down as small as possible? Then you might want to serialize your object graph using binary serialization with Base64 encoding. Well, in that case, you could serialize that object graph in memory and then put it into blob storage. Another option. All right, so suppose that you have a need for a different kind of data. Suppose you have something that's not intended to be durable, but they're intended to be these short little messages. Perhaps they're messages that allow two disparate systems to talk to each other, or suppose they're messages that allow you to break apart one application into two applications. Part of the application only writes, the other part of the application only reads. And so by doing this, you can handle massive influxes of data coming into your system. So what would you use? Well, in the past, you could use a table for that purpose, a relational database management system table. But probably the better solution is to use Azure Storage Queues, or just queues. Placing a message on a queue in a first in, first out access arrangement. So I put a message, maybe it's a serialized object, maybe it's just some sort of specialized format into the queue, and then I have a different process that reads values out. And I think I demonstrated this whenever we were working in the previous course with web jobs. I think we use queues in that particular case to show how you could drop a message onto a queue and then use a web job to pick it up. And we talked about the value of that. We'll go into more depth in a little bit. Suppose that you need to store name value data on a very temporary basis. So you just want some caching for your application. Well, we looked at that in the previous course as well. We looked at Microsoft Redis Cache and how we were able to use that to just store short-term data. Well, we'll not talk about Redis in this series, but I want to talk about that as kind of a storage option, right? It's durable over the course of a certain period of time. It's sort of like a message. Moving on, suppose that you want to quickly create some back-end web service with some sort of data store for a mobile application that you're building for some device. Well, you can use mobile services for that. We're not going to cover mobile services in this course, but it's another option, a viable option whenever you sit down to store data. Or suppose that you want to store data for a WordPress blog or some other PHP-based app. Again, we talked about creating a virtual machine and hosting MySQL yourself, but you have another option to host MySQL through a company called ClearDB. That company is not Microsoft. However, they run inside of Azure Data Center, so you get the benefits of Azure, but it's managed by a third-party company called ClearDB. We'll talk about that more in a moment. And as I said earlier, you have even more options of what I proposed above. After all, again, you can host virtual machines that can host any database vendor's product on a Windows server or a Linux server machine. Furthermore, there are third parties like ClearDB that we talked about a moment ago that make their products available through a partnership with Microsoft. So for example, MongoLab is a hosting provider for MongoDB, which is perhaps the most popular NoSQL database on the market. So you can provision new Mongo databases or MongoDBs on Azure using MongoLab's hosting architecture. Now, it's still in the Azure data centers. It's just managed by a third-party company, MongoLab. So you can go to the Azure store, you can install the MongoLab add-on, and then you can use that add-on in the portal to provision new MongoDBs for your application. And the same would be true for ClearDB as well, where you want to provision a new MySQL database. You go to the Azure store, you install a ClearDB add-on, and then you use that add-in in the Azure portal to provision new SQL databases for, or MySQL databases for your application. Let's talk for a moment about relational versus NoSQL. I've used the term NoSQL a couple of times, and I haven't really defined it. For many people like me, this is a relatively new concept. It's also a very large concept, and I'm not sure that I can do it justice. But to begin, you should have a basic understanding of relational database management theory. So here again, COD and normal forms and normalizations and so on. Normal forms are like dimensions in reality. After the third dimension or the third normal form, it all sounds like science fiction to me anyway. But there are people that are very good at normalization. NoSQL is kind of, it's modeled using other mechanisms than tables and relations. And there are many, many variants on this idea. And so let me talk about the most popular high level categories. There are key value stores. They're often called dictionaries or maps or associated arrays. And you can see that implemented in Microsoft Azure's offerings through Azure Storage Tables. There are also document style databases. So you might think, you might create a JSON document, so JavaScript object notation document of a sales opportunity. It would have properties like the company name, the opportunity size. It might also have related collections of things like employees in that company that are a point of contact. And then each of those might have phone numbers or email addresses for each employee. It could be XML, but basically the data is represented as in a text format in some special way to designate what those values mean. And as I said earlier, the technology that you can use from Microsoft Azure for this type of NoSQL document database is called DocumentDB. And we'll, again, highlight that in an upcoming module. Then there's a type of NoSQL data store called a graph. Now, Microsoft really doesn't have a graph solution. Graphs represent complex relationships between entities. And there are some canonical examples, like friends on a social network website or roads on a map. There are many different roads to get from point A to point B, especially like in the Dallas area. I have four or five different routes that I can get from my house to the airport if I need to. And representing them in relational databases could be challenging, but there are data stores that that are built specifically for this purpose and make representing those relationships a lot easier. So back to the notion of what NoSQL really is. Again, it can be many things to many different people. Some people say that it means no tables and no relationship to relational database management systems, but I think it's really short for not only SQL. And what you really have is what Martin Fowler termed as polyglot persistence, a mix of data storage choices that include relational data as well as other kind of data storage mechanisms that are appropriate for the kind of data being stored. Most systems have data that doesn't easily conform to the rigidity of a relational database management system, and so NoSQL is an acknowledgement that an RDBMS is maybe perhaps a core piece of a larger landscape of data storage in any typical enterprise application. So you, just to kind of make that a little bit clearer, you may not just have one of these types of data stores in your solution. You might use multiples where it makes sense, tying them all in by some common key that spans across an RDBMS system, a document DB, a key value store, and so on. And NoSQL is a term that's kind of like cloud. It could mean different things to different people. It's a marketing term again. But one of the features of that differentiate an RDBMS and a NoSQL database is horizontal versus vertical scaling. So NoSQL data stores are typified by their ability to scale horizontally because of how they're designed. A system like SQL Server can easily be scaled vertically. You can add more computing resources like RAM and processing power to make it more performant, but scaling horizontally to accommodate very, very large data sets is an advanced feature. It's complicated, as we said at the very outset. But in contrast, typically, NoSQL data stores typically treat the handling of horizontal scaling via sharding of the data as a first-class citizen. So a good example of this is Azure Table Storage. Each table or each data type has two keys, a partition key and a row key, as we'll learn soon. So a partition key could be the user ID and a row key would be a specific entity, or you could say an instance or a row. I mean, whatever the terminology that makes it work for you. But a particular entity of data for that given user. A single table can store up to 200 terabyte of data. Actually, that's not just a limitation on the table. That's a limitation on how much a single storage account can hold. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But by contrast, the maximum amount that an Azure SQL table can hold is 150 gigabytes. So again, Azure SQL tables, 150 gigabytes, an Azure storage table, 200 terabytes. Incredible amount of storage can be achieved. And again, it's because of the way that they are fundamentally architected with sharding in mind. So when you think to yourself, I'm going to generate a ton of data if this website or this application gets really popular, and honestly, that data doesn't have to be purely relational. It can be really flattened out. And I don't need a lot of normalization, or I could take a relational design and denormalize it. Well, then you might want to consider a NoSQL data store. However, if you need a lot of complex queries with where clauses and sorting, and you're concerned about the integrity of the data, or you need ACID quality, and when I say ACID, I mean ACID in terms of computer science, atomicity, consistency, isolation, durability. Hopefully those are terms that are familiar to you. If I need that, then I might go back to a relational database management system. Now, this is a gross oversimplification of all these ideas, and I would recommend that you really think about the kind of data that you're going to need to store for a given application, and then consider the strengths of each type of tool that's available before settling on just one, or thinking, I don't have to be all one or all the other. I can use, again, this notion of polyglot persistence, where I use relational database management systems where it makes sense in my application, and use other NoSQL style data stores when those make sense. All right, so to recap, the big takeaway is that there are many different kinds of data, and there are many different tools that allow you to deal with that data efficiently, and you should pick the right tool for the job. And Azure has many options available for you. And if they don't offer a tool that you want to use, you can always host that tool inside of a virtual machine and manage it yourself. And then finally, we talked about traditional relational database management systems versus NoSQL databases, and really one of the biggest differentiations is the way that that they're structured. Vertical scaling in mind versus horizontal scaling in mind. Okay, hopefully these concepts were helpful. You'll see how they apply as we get into the actual tools themselves in the upcoming modules, and we'll see you there. Thank you.